escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This is the Best of Interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Joining us now, what a treat to hear our friend Brandon Graham on with us on WIP. BG, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's up, brother? How's the retirement home treating you? I mean, just retirement.
Hey, I feel like what we just listened to. Bing, bop, boom, bop, boom. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good right now, man. I'm actually feeling good. Looking forward to seeing some Eagles football this year, man. And just being a fan, man. Just watching these boys put it together like I know they will. Because, I mean, as you know, man, they're in good hands. Keep saying it. They in good, great hands. Nick Sirianni being the leader of it, and the other leaders that they got in there that's going to emerge this year, like a Jordan Mulata, you're going to see him kick it up even more. I mean, Lane already going to be who he going to be. And, you know, I can't wait to see Nolan step into that defensive role. Him and Zach together, N'Kobe Dean, man, you name it. Reed Blankenship.
Yeah.
I mean, man, we got the guys. Just got to go, got to put it together, you know, one day at a time like we always do.
Well, man, listen, you have always been a great leader by example, but also a vocal leader. And Nolan has talked about how much you've poured into him and helping him get through some early struggles that helped him reach success last year. Just want to get some quick thoughts on him. But also, Jalix Hunt, another young guy who I'm sure you mentored last year and poured into. What do you expect to see from these young guys coming up this season?
Well, what I expect to see them putting in the work one day at a time, because they seen me put it in every day, keep that chip on my shoulder, even for practice. They might not talk as much as me, but what you show with your actions is speaking so much more than just that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking forward to seeing them take their next step with confidence, you know, what they learned from last year winning it all and trying to repeat and see how hard it is on the repeat, because you can't worry about what we did last year, because it's a whole new team. Even though we got similar guys, but we got to have that similar what's that message? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we got to come up with a new message for what's this team going to be, because, man, you got to get these boys believing in your dream. And they got to first see you do it in order for you to be able to echo it and talk about it, you know, with others. If they don't see you doing it, it's going to be hard to kind of preaching to them about, you know, what we do here. And so I hope that they can do that, both of them, you know, by how they work. And, man, and all the vocal stuff will come as they continue to keep getting better.
Now, you're one of the few guys that won a Super Bowl the first time around. Repeating as champion, what type of advice would you give this team that you learned from the first time winning in 2017 that maybe you guys didn't do well coming off defending that year? What type of advice would you give them sort of to either avoid or make sure they focus on this year?
Well, what I was telling them a little bit already, the ones that I talked to a lot up at the facility, is, man, you gotta have a cutoff soon of, like, you know, hey, make sure, or not a cutoff, but make sure that your workouts are still, you know, you still working out and not just taking meetings, taking all these different things that's taking you away from ball because of what you did the year before. Because soon as this year come up and we not going like we need to go, it's going to be all the Super Bowl hangover. So what I tell them is to make sure that they are working out while still making their money and doing their stuff from the Super Bowl and doing whatever, but don't let that be more than what got you to this place, and that's ball. Like going out there and balling, going out there and putting in the work. Don't think it's just going to happen again because, you know, you the Eagles and y'all got a similar team. But it's like, no, y'all all got to have the same offseason, same hunger, and make sure that you come ready to play and don't just live off what you did last year. Let's do something great. Let's go on our three-peat run. And so I think it's just taking the offseason serious like they was before and not being complacent and thinking things going to just happen because of who we were last year and since we got a similar team.
BG, I think it's interesting that it's difficult for a team to get back and win the Super Bowl after they won the Super Bowl, but it's also difficult to get back to the Super Bowl after they lost the Super Bowl. And you've been through both of those things, an offseason after you lost the Super Bowl and an offseason after you won the Super Bowl. What did you think was more difficult for you and for other players, the season after winning it or the season after losing it?
I think the season after winning it is real easy because it put that chip on your shoulder again, especially if you have a GM like we got where he just kept adding to the guys, and then we didn't lose too many. And this is rare, too. When you usually win, you usually lose a lot. We lost a lot on defense, not crazy amount, but about five guys. But I think we got some guys to replace them, but they still have to prove themselves. But I think it's harder when you win and trying to get everybody refocused again. And that's the hardest thing you come across, because when we lost, man, that junk burned. Because that was my best year I'd have had as a pro, getting double-digit sacks. And so I had that chip on my shoulder even more because I tasted it again and I came up short. And so I think that the hardest part is winning it and coming back after you win, because now you got to get everybody refocused and come up with a new message for the year that everybody can believe in. That's the team that we are, and that's what we've shown. And so this is the message that kind of pops up, and hopefully that message is a great message, which I know it will be with Coach Sirianni. But, yeah, I think it's harder when you win it and having to come back and repeat because you got to get it refocused.
So on Thursday, you're going to be at the Chesapeake Inn. We were there a couple weeks ago. What great place, from 6 to 9. And people can take pictures. Man, people can take pictures with you and your jersey and cleats from the Super Bowl. And then they're going to take those and cut them up and put them into cards that people can get. You can find out more at spectorsportsart.com. But when you're – first of all, Chesapeake Inn is awesome. It's a good place for you to choose to do that.
Oh, yeah, man. It's really good. Good.
What is the thing that people ask you the most when you meet people at things like this? Is it, are you coming back? Is it – like, what is the number one thing that people ask you the most?
Man, that's funny you say that, because that was just a question that was just asked at a golf outing I was just at today. Actually, right after I got done at 4:30, I've been waiting on this call to see what's going on. I was at the Philly Cricket, and they asked me that about a couple times. Like, hey, man, if the Eagles really needed you, it's like, I say, I hope they don't need me, because them boys are in great hands. And, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, you got to stay healthy in this game. And so that's the biggest thing that helped us this year, was staying healthy. And if them boys can do that again and stay healthy, man, I don't see them. I don't see too many problems, other than they just got to have the right attitude, all of them. But yeah. I know they will. But it's just about staying healthy in this game.
How do you feel physically? Like, you didn't have to go through OTAs. You didn't have to go through none of that. Like, how is your body?
Man, my body is feeling really good. Still feel like you always feel like you got something in the tank until you get out there and you're like, oh, that day is over with. I'm honestly feeling really good because I'm working out every day like I'm still playing because that's just been my schedule. But I'm just working to look good, and that's my biggest thing now is making sure my gut don't get big and make sure that everything that people betting against me that I'm going to go the other way, the big way. I want to let them know, hey, not so fast, my friend.
I'm going to give you one piece of advice, B. So this is your first year being retired, so this is going to be the first training camp that you haven't gone to since what? I don't know, eighth grade, ninth grade? Right? Like, you've been in training camp every year since high school through college. I would, if you can, take you and your lovely family, your beautiful wife, your beautiful kids. You might want to get away that week somewhere. Like, that way you can have something to take your mind away from everybody being in training camp, and that's what you're used to doing. Just so that it sort of allows you to, I guess, not feel like you're not at training camp. You're going to feel that a little bit anyway, but if you're doing something else, it may not feel as awkward to you with your first training camp. I remember my first one, man. I was thinking about still going to training camp, and I'm like, hold on, I don't play for anybody anymore, man. I don't have a team to go to training camp with. So you might need something to keep you occupied.
No, I'm with you on that. I'm feeling it now. Just even if it's getting close, it's like, dang. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like you're starting to hear these boys revving up.
Yep.
Oh, man, here it is. But it sting a little bit for sure. But I'm ready to deal with those feelings. And that's what I'm more excited about. Because when I lost my locker out of 15 years and I finally, like, got my new norm of what it feels like now, it's like, okay, all right, I'm past that part now. And once I get to the new norm of this, I feel good. Once I get to games and then once it becomes a part of life, then I know I've been moved on. But, man, I know this first year I'm really trying to just enjoy myself while still dealing with those feelings when they do come up and being honest about it, you know. Yeah.
So, BG, one final question for you here, because you've always had a great attitude and, like, you're a hard worker, all those things. And I don't know if you know, but we have a thing going on at the radio station in that Jack Fritz and Joe DeCamera – and you know them both, have like an athletic challenge. Five different things that they're, I know. So it's five different things they're competing against each other with. And yesterday they did golf, and DeCamera, in the upset of the century, beat Jack. Yes. And so Jack's already down 1-0. The next thing is baseball. But Jack kept saying that he felt, and I know you know what this feels like, having all of Philadelphia, you know, counting on you. Jack said that he felt the pressure of everyone, you know, counting on him and what it would be like if
he lost.
Very
comparable situations.
Yes. Yep. So I was wondering if you could give Jack any sort of advice about dealing with the pressure of you know, failing.
The
weight of expectations. What could you tell him to make sure that he is locked in the next competition?
Hey, well, what I could tell him is, hey, yeah, well, show them players some grace when you're talking stuff about them. When you say, oh, the pressure, you're a bad athlete. Oh, yeah. No, for real, though. But, you know what? It's all in your mind. You got to really, like, talk to yourself in a positive way. You got to flush it and move on. That's the biggest thing. You got to let it go. Next play. Because, honestly, it is. Like, that's the only thing you can control is the next competition. So, hey, you lost this one. Hey, shake it off. It's the next one that counts. It's you only as good as your last play, and that's what we always talk about. You only as good as, like, your last year and how you was. Because as you know, football is not for long. NFL and Mr. Lurie ain't gonna sign you if you ain't have a good year the year before.
So what I took from that, BG, that sounded like, well, Fritz, the next time you want to be critical of Jalen Hurts,
you ought to think about
the pressure he's under, and when he succeeds, give him more credit.
I need to be more like Jalen next time out.
Yes, because it is an art to talk to yourself in a positive way, even in the negative, because you believe in yourself that much.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes practice and the work every day that you don't see, that people just, oh, man, he is not this, he ain't that, he terrible, whatever the takes are. It's like, yeah, no, now you feeling the heat. I don't want to hear all that crybaby stuff. Get suck it up and get ready for your next competition.
Yeah,
that's what they do with us. Get yourself right, big boy.
BG, great to hear your
perfect
voice,
answer.
Man.
Perfect yeah. answer, man. Appreciate it, brother.
It's fun though, man. I gotta give them this stuff. I gotta get on them because, man, when they be talking real good until they're in that position, and that's what we always talk about as athletes. We say, man, we should host something where they should do something. But be an athlete for a day, and let's see how they take some of the coaching that goes.
Not well.
They'd be in their mind, boy. They'd be ready to commit something. For real, some of these coaches be on their butt, boy. Be in their head, in their dreams.
All right, BG. Thank you, brother. It was always good to hear your voice.
Always, man.
Nah, I appreciate y'all. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gill, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. We're broadcasting live from the DeBoer Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park. Game two tonight, Phillies, Padres, our old buddy Nick Pivette on the mound. And Bryce Harper, he'll likely be in the lineup again, activated yesterday, but I don't even know what that was. He was activated, and he did not make me feel like he was healthy at all. And I got Hugh over here saying, yeah, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
He'll move runners.
He'll move them.
Yeah,
hey,
like a slap hitting second base.
He's going to go out there and he's going to make it happen.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. You keep saying that, and I keep wondering what the heck we have here at Bryce Harper. Here's what I do know we have with the Phillies, a team with great starting pitching, an offense we can improve upon, but a bullpen that obviously needs some help here. And I saw yesterday Andrew Filippone, Hugh, he is a host out in Pittsburgh, 93.7 The Fan. He said he's heard maybe the Pirates are a team that has some bullpen guys the Phillies would want. Also, we got to talk to him about this T.J. Watt situation because I have my eye on it, and maybe Howie Rosewood does as well. Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan out in Pittsburgh, with us right now. How you doing, Andrew?
Andrew.
Joe, what's up? Is this the Hugh Douglas that was on the Eagles team that got spanked by the Steelers 27-3 in 2004?
Yeah. Wait a minute.
It was.
When's the last time y'all won a playoff game, though?
2016.
Okay.
It's a while.
You know what I'm saying?
Eagles have won two Super Bowls since then.
I mean, you come in throwing darts, man. I mean, jeez.
Well, I just wanted to make sure I was talking to the right people. That's all. That's what you're supposed
to do. It is the same Hugh Douglas.
Well, yes. To your point, yes. Yes, it was. We came in.
What happened
spanked.
That day?
I don't know. Hey, they who's that? Heinz Ward ran in reverse, and it was off to
the
races.
Yeah, he scored two touchdowns. You guys were 7-0. You were feeling yourself. Got put in your place, et cetera.
Yeah, but thanks a lot. I get the gist of what you're putting down. I pick up what you're putting
down.
What
happened in the title game that January? You guys went home.
What happened in the Super Bowl the next year, Joe?
Well, you won. And then since then, it's been – more since then. And then it's been a lot of nothing.
I mean, geez.
Hold on. Before we get into anything else.
I thought we were friendly rivals.
Are the Steelers still a real franchise? Or like what are they? I feel like I'm watching the Dream Team 2011 Eagles just collecting old guys all over the place. What's going on with that team?
Good comparison. A lot of people that are anti their offseason have brought that up. I really haven't yet, but I do like that one. They have champagne mediocrity is what I call it. They're 9-8, 10-7 every year. They get bludgeoned in the playoffs. It's wash, rinse, repeat. And that's what Mike Tomlin wants. Mike wants to always be competitive. He's never willing to look at the big picture, take a step back to take a step forward. It's like when Andy Reid had complete control of the Eagles before Howie Roseman started to do his thing, he calls all the shots. He brought Aaron Rodgers here. He brought Russell Wilson and Justin Fields here last year. He brought Matt Canada here, the worst offensive coordinator I've ever seen in my entire life. He drafted Kenny Pickett in the first round. He makes these moves. The national media is out to lunch on this. They think Tomlin just has to make a meal out of the crappy groceries he gets every year. Mm. Not true. It's his kingdom. He rules. He's the supreme leader. He's the emperor. And that's why the Steelers have been a mediocre team for a very long time.
You know, I'm kind of curious because Justin Fields was there. And he looked like he was a pretty decent quarterback. What happened with that situation? Why did they ultimately end up going with Russell Wilson in that situation?
Because they made a handshake deal with him when they signed him, Hugh. They said, you come here for the league minimum. We'll give you a shot to resuscitate and revive your career. Russell also had a very, very close relationship with the most prominent minority owner of the Steelers. So it went really beyond just what happens between the lines. And I think they couldn't go back on that promise. So they were 4-2. Fields had played a shaky game in Vegas, even though they won the week before. So they decided to make a change. It was unprecedented. Never in the history of the NFL had a quarterback been benched for performance reasons with a 4-2 record. And Tomlin said, I'm the Lone Ranger. And he was right. The offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, he wanted to stick with Justin Fields because he thought there was more there. Well, we saw Russell Wilson turn into a pumpkin at the end of the year. And Mike believes, in his twisted mind, that a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers, he can win a Super Bowl with him. He honestly believes that he can be a difference maker and be the guy that puts them over the top. I don't see it. I think he's nuts. But that's why they decided to not bring Justin Fields back.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, you guys have a lot to talk about. You got Aaron Rodgers out there.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah, that's going to give you a whole season there.
And we got Jalen Ramsey, too. He's not shy giving his opinion. This is insanity. We might trade T.J. Watt.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Well, now we're cooking with grease. All right, so let's talk through that one here. So I saw the report from Adam Schefter. You just mentioned the TJ Watt thing. So let's unpack this, because I have my eye on this from an Eagles perspective, because as great as they were last year, they lost a lot on defense. They're very young there. And I think they could use another, you know, turbo boost to the pass rush. And TJ Watt obviously could be that. So let's start with this. Do you think What are the chances T.J. Watt does get traded before the season starts?
Well, it's obviously on the board, because the Steelers keep doing things that their old stuck-in-the-mud media members say they won't or can't do. Oh, they'll never trade for D.K. Metcalf. He's too expensive. Wrong. They won't trade George Pickens after the draft. They did. They won't bring in Aaron Rodgers. They won't trade Minkah Fitzpatrick for Jalen Ramsey. They're doing aggressive, bold things. I don't really think it's making them much better, but they're going for big splashes. They're taking big swings. So I don't rule it out now. The owner said he wants T.J. Watt to wear one helmet his entire career. The owner also said he wanted to bring Russell Wilson or Justin Fields back. So that statement actually doesn't carry much weight anymore. I think it's possible because I don't think Watt's happy with the idea that from what I've heard, the Steelers are treating the Myles Garrett contract almost like it's the Deshaun Watson of edge rusher contracts. Hey, they made a mistake. They screwed up. Just because they blew him away with money doesn't mean we have to do the same thing for you, TJ. Let's compare you more to the Max Crosbys of the world. And TJ's got to burr up his rear end. He thinks that he's better than Garrett. He's right, by the way. And so he thinks he should get paid more than him, which I respect and understand. So if the Steelers aren't willing to meet him on that, and it sounds like they're not, he's extremely unhappy, then I could see him forcing his way out, just like other guys have. George Pickens, most notably, in the last couple of months. They have a tendency now, when guys are unhappy here, to move on from them. So, yeah, I think T.J. Watt could possibly get traded.
All right, Andrew Filippone with us here, 93.7 The Fan out in Pittsburgh. All right, let's say it gets to that point, the way you just referenced, and maybe it gets to the point where they're going to move off him. What do you think would be a reasonable compensation? Obviously, there'd be a bidding war, so whatever you say could get bidded up because there's four or five teams in this. I think the Commanders in the Eagles division could be one of them. But let's play it out. Let's say 3 weeks from now, camp is starting, and they say, all right, we'll move him. What do you think the cost would be for a player of his caliber, but the age, the contract? Like, what do you think? Eagles have 13 picks in next year's draft, so they have a lot they could offer if it comes to this.
And the Steelers have tons of picks, too. I really think about that now, Joe, completely differently after this player swap that they just did. You know, the Eagles once upon a time traded Kiko Alonso for Shady McCoy. The Steelers now just traded Minkah Fitzpatrick for Jalen Ramsey. I used to just live in a world where it's like, all right, maybe a first-round pick is all you get back. But maybe there would be players involved. Like, if the Eagles called up the Steelers and said, we want T.J. Watt, we'll trade you Nolan Smith in a late-round pick, I think they'd make that trade. I really do. If something like that were ever put on the table, I think they would get younger because they could also sell it as, well, we get a player like this. We're not punting on the season with a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers. I don't think that's very realistic or highly probable, but I think that would be the type of thing that would get Mike Tomlin's attention, especially if he thinks T.J. Watt doesn't want to play here and is too expensive and is 30 years old. So I don't know. I mean, I would think originally, hey, a first-round pick and then you go from there, but maybe they would want a player based on how things went with the Dolphins trade.
Yeah, that opens up a whole new way of making – I mean, because that's not typical in the NFL. We brought it up yesterday.
No,
the last
not.
One I can remember was the Clinton Portis and Champ Bailey one, like, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah,
we don't usually get star players who traded for star players. That's different.
Yeah, it is different. But, Andrew, I'm kind of curious. You know, Coach Tomlin hasn't had a losing season in the NFL yet, but it feels like the fan base is really tired of him. Is this possibly his last season there in Pittsburgh?
No, because the owner has the exact opposite opinion of the fans, Hugh. And I actually think the way that the fans treat Tomlin causes him to dig in stronger and be more supportive of Mike.
Okay.
I said this to somebody the other day. I really think if you gave him truth serum and said, who's been the most important person in the franchise over the last 20 years, Mike Tomlin or Ben Roethlisberger, he would say Mike. He's obsessed with Mike. He loves Mike. He thinks that Mike sets the agenda for the entire franchise. He loves the way he handles himself. He loves the way that the team is always in it, that they have never gone worse than 8-8. They're always in the playoff mix. Regardless of who the quarterback is, they're always in the hunt in December. Now they're getting killed in the playoffs, and that's a real dipping of the Steelers' standards. But he doesn't think Mike Tomlin's the problem at all. I mean, I think he's wrong about that. Mike's made some horrendous decisions in terms of quarterback selections and pickups and the way they philosophically have gone about things offensively. And by the way, the Steelers spend $179 million on defense. The Eagles spend $64 million. Who's getting better return on that investment? The Steelers outspend everybody. The Giants are the next closest team. They outspend the Giants by $30 million. And we were eighth in defense last year with a defensive-minded coach. So that's what really grinds my gears. Like, this team should right now have the best defense in the NFL, given the personnel and given who's coaching it, and they fall way short of that. They gave up 299 yards, for crying out loud, in the playoff game last year to Baltimore.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, they were not competitive there. All right,
so they had the best defense. They spent the most money.
Yeah, but... now you get Hugh started. Yeah,
thanks a lot, Andrew.
Hugh's a former great defender who doesn't care about defense anymore. All right, let's end with this. You had a tweet yesterday saying stay tuned on the idea of the Phillies and Pirates, maybe a potential trade later this month. We could have two Pittsburgh-Philadelphia trades. Tell us about Bednar, who we've seen before and has been a good closer for a while, and Dennis Santana. What do the Pirates have in that bullpen, and do you think the Phillies and Pirates could match up and those two guys are one of them coming here?
Well, I think the Phillies want to match up. It's a matter of the Pirates wanting to do business here, and it's complicated because the Pirates have a GM who's hanging by a thread. He's in year six of a rebuild. They've never won more than 76 games with him at the helm, and the manager got fired at the end of May. So he's on thin ice. So that could go one of two ways. He either has to do something big to save his ass, or he doesn't really have the authority to do that because he's dead man walking. And that's why this is a really tricky situation. Now, Bednar is also from Pittsburgh, which makes it more difficult because fans, for the most part, like him, even though he's had his ups and downs. He got sent down for performance reasons, but I would easily argue that the manager who was here before, the current one, mismanaged the guy. He is perfect in save situations, and I believe he has not given up a run this year when the Pirates have a lead. So he went to Indy. He got it figured out. He's back here. He's been excellent ever since. And since Santana's one of these guys, they picked up off the scrap heap from the Yankees a year and a half ago, and he's been outstanding. The Pirates just had, I think, the lowest bullpen ERA in baseball for the month of June, better than anybody for a crappy team. They had the best bullpen, and these two guys were in charge of it, Bednar and Santana. And his ERA's in the one, Santana. But the thing he's most famous for right now, he's currently suspended because he tried to slap a Pirates fan in the face during a doubleheader.
I saw this. I didn't realize it was him.
Wait a minute. He slapped me.
I think Hugh wants him here in Philadelphia more now.
He jumped out of the bullpen to slap a man in the face because he was talking smack. That's a true story.
We need that kind of attitude in our bullpen. Get him here on the double.
Now, here's the thing I've also heard, Joe and Hugh. I think if the Pirates were allowed to make this trade, okay, the owner says, I'll give you the agency to go out and make a deal like this and trade these two guys. I think the player that they want is an outfielder named Justin Crawford. Are you familiar with him?
Yeah, oh yeah, of course,
I think they'd make that trade in a second. I think they send both guys, Bednar and Santana, for Crawford, and Crawford would be starting probably in left field for the Pirates that night. I think if that was ever put on the table for Charrington, he'd sprint to the owner's office and say, please, please, please let me make this trade. And I guess it just comes down to whether Dave Dombrowski wants a great eighth inning and ninth inning guy to get this team to the finish line this year.
Well, he might, because it's been a few years here where the Phillies have kind of danced around that kind of trade but not made the deadline. Listen, Andrew, we appreciate you hopping on. We'll be monitoring both of these, especially the Watt one. Interesting idea with the Nolan Smith thing. All right, we appreciate you hopping on, and enjoy the rest of your week, and happy July 4th. Thank you.
Yeah, have a good one.
Sorry to bring up bad memories, man. You're the best. See you boys later.
Oh, no,
later.
You did it
Goodbye.
On purpose. I respect that,
I did.
Though. That was,
you're right.
That was pretty cool.
See ya.
Well, maybe Bryce Harper will never leave and play for another team moving forward. I mean, a 13-year deal, that's saying something about a commitment of a team to a player and a player to a team. And, of course, with no opt-out, that was a celebrated aspect when he signed with the Phillies back in 2019. And he's given the Phillies a ton and the city of Philadelphia a ton. Unfortunately, one of the realities is he's also banged up. And so while we do Harper at the half, 6.5 years in, we know that the second half for him individually will almost assuredly not be as good as him individually in the first half of 6.5 years. So for that, we want to turn, because the wrist has been a thing, and there's been a lot of injuries. Guy's gotten hit in the face. He had the elbow. I mean, a major reconstruction. But the wrist is the latest issue. It impacted him last year. Obviously, it's impacted him again this year. Now, before we go further, I want to bring on Dr. Michael Pensack, orthopedic surgeon from NovaCare Rehabilitation, in a moment. But I first want to play for Dr. Pensack and everyone listening what Bryce said earlier this week when he returned to the lineup. So Bryce, of course, came back. This was just a few days ago. And he had been trying to work through the wrist thing and improve it more. And he got to a point where he felt like he only improved it to the level he was going to improve it. And kind of, John, took the suggestion of a few callers who were like, well, if it's not really going to improve, I bet you at least just play. And he's like, all right, that's true. I'll play. So listen to what Bryce said, and then we'll get the Doc's sense of it. Here's what Bryce said a few days ago.
I didn't think I was going to take any other steps forward of feeling better or anything like that. I thought we were kind of at a standstill of it feeling the same the last couple of days, and you know, from BP to live and things like that kind of gave us the same result each day. So I thought today was a good one.
So when we heard standstill, that kind of gave us a shudder. Like, all right, he's improved, but he's not nearly where he wants to be. And so what does that mean? Well, that means we turn to the NovaCare Rehabilitation Injury Report. Dr. Michael Pensack is an orthopedic surgeon specializing in hand, wrist, and upper extremity care. He holds a subspecialty certificate in orthopedic surgery of the hand, which is a designation granted to board-certified surgeons in hand surgery beyond those of other orthopedic surgeons. He's a real expert in this area. Right there where the wrist is, Dr. Pensack joins us. Dr. Pensack, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So we're really fascinated to get your perspective. For everyone listening, full disclosure, Dr. Pensack has not, you know, treated Bryce and obviously is able to comment in a generic sense because he's just talking as a doc what it could be. So, Doc, let's get to it. Based on the fact that it impacted Bryce last year, he rested it. There was no surgery. It improved. He started playing this year. It set back in a more extensive way. He sat out. It improved, but it was a plateau. What would be your guess of what the issue is? What range of possibilities could it be?
All right. So my take on this is most likely a soft tissue problem. If you focus on the MRI that was just performed and is out there suggesting inflammation in the wrist, you're really talking about five or six structures at play. You've got bones, you've got nerves, you've got tendons, muscles, ligaments, joint capsules. It's probably not a bone bruise. You typically wouldn't refer to a bone bruise as an inflammatory condition. You're talking about an occult fracture you only see on MRI or swelling in the bone. So I don't think it's a bony issue. That would most likely slowly resolve over time. Typically, if there was a nerve problem, you'd be referring to that as more of a neuritis. So it can be inflamed, but there's more descriptive language you would use to describe a nerve problem. So I'm focusing more on tendons, muscles, joint capsules, and the associated ligaments. This, to me, sounds like an acute on chronic situation where there's been damage to soft tissue that has given time to heal, and then it gets re-injured, re-exacerbated, from whatever forces the athlete is putting his body or that region of the hand and wrist through. So a couple of things that I think about that I see commonly in my practice are ulnar-sided wrist pain. That's pain on the pinky side of your wrist. So there's a soft tissue disc there, very similar to the meniscus you have inside your knee, known as the TFCC, triangular fibrocartilaginous complex. That's prone to tearing. That can be a very nagging source of ulnar-sided wrist pain. It can wax and wane. So that's one thing that stands out to me. That disc has a poor vascular supply in the central third of it. The outer rim of it has good healing responses.
Oh,
there's a rich blood supply there, but that can tear. And depending on how much rest, it can calm down and then flare back up again.
And you're saying the poor vascular supply, Doc, that means essentially it takes longer to heal. There's not as much blood there, so it's just you got to be more patient with that coming back from that sort of thing.
Parts of those discs don't heal, and if they ever progress to surgery, sometimes we just have to go in and debride or shave down the tissue that is unable to mount a healing response.
Oh, jeez.
Would you feel that
would
an off-season surgery, in your opinion, fix it if the situation calls for it?
It certainly could, but there's still a host of other pathology at play that may not even require a surgery. You know, there could be a very bad tendinopathy. You could have an ECU subsheath injury. You can have a bad case of de Quervain's tendonitis, which is on the thumb side of your wrist.
Man.
These are extraordinarily painful conditions, and it depends what sort of conservative care the athlete or patient wants to employ. You know, this could simply respond to immobilization, anti-inflammatories, corticosteroid shots, but you know, there are many athletes who don't want to put some of that stuff in their body, and that can prolong the healing response. So I could tell you, if you were like a weekend warrior in my office, you'd most likely be getting a cortisone shot for any of the pathology around the wrist, if it's a tendon or DFCC type of injury. But an athlete may want to, you know, mm-hmm. professional athlete at that level may want to hold off.
But if, but that is, like you said, that is an option that could make it feel better, that could reduce the inflammation. When you say it could respond to immobilization, that's the way that we dealt with everything. Like in football, sure. in my sport, when it was wrist, you just tape it. You know, like that. That's. But I know that in baseball, why is it so difficult to just tape?
Well,
it
hold on. Well, let me just say this. Baseball, think about a bat. Think about swinging a bat. Like it is so
directly. On your wrist, yeah.
It is right there.
Why is it? Why is it so difficult to just tape it?
It's very hard. The wrist has very complex kinematics. You're talking about 3D motions that you have eight wrist bones. There's two rows of wrist bones that articulate with either the hand and or the forearm. In order to get the proper kinematics to swing a bat at their level, to catch balls and throw balls, you just can't shut the wrist down without affecting their performance and motion. So some types of bad wrist pathology, you know, they require, you know, 6 weeks of immobilization and something called a Munster splint to shut down all their pronation and supination. That's the rotational motion about the long arm, about the long axis of the forearm.
Wow.
And that may not be feasible in season.
Wow.
And that's why I think this is, you know, definitely a soft tissue, well, very close to being a soft tissue thing definitively because of the acute on chronic nature of this. It seems like it responds to rest and then flares up with activity.
So, Doc, final question here. I'm going to combine short-term and long-term. Short-term is this year, of which there's, you know, 4 months if they go all the way through the World Series. Long-term, there's 6 years after that. Short-term, how much of a problem to play with and through? Long-term, how much of a problem as you perceive it?
Again, it all depends on the detailed findings of that MRI, which I'm not privy to, as he's not my private patient. But you know, this could be solved in potentially 2 to 6 weeks if it's something that would respond well to a corticosteroid shot. If it requires surgery down the line, it's possible he could be temporized through the season and then something in the off season, and that could solve it for the rest of his career. I mean, there are plenty of people who do respond well to a wrist scope and a debridement or a repair of their TFCC, and that's the end of it. But there's not enough information out there to opine further on that. And I don't want to circumspect beyond that because there's a lot more detail that goes into that kind of
But it seems like he wasn't. It seems like that wasn't part of the plan for the last few years, you know, the debridement in the offseason.
Yeah, a little concerning that it wasn't taken care of last year into this year.
Yeah, why would that be the case, Doc?
That could be player preference. Again, without looking at the images and seeing what is actually damaged, it's hard to again,
speculate.
Further opine on that.
Yeah.
Got it. Well, Doc, I appreciate your time. I'll tell you what, if I have one of these issues in the hand and wrist region, I'm coming to you. Dr. Michael Pencik, an orthopedic surgeon specializing in hand, wrist, and upper extremity care. He sees patients at Ocean Orthopedic Associates in Toms River and Old Bridge, New Jersey. For more information, go to MichaelPencikMD.com, all part of the NovaCare Rehabilitation Injury Report. Doc, thank you, sir. Much appreciated.
Thank you, guys. Have a
thank
good one.
You
got it. Very interesting.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Harper at the half talking about Bryce Harper as we are at the midway point of his 13-year, $330 million contract. One guy that followed that signing quite closely as it was happening is Jim Salisbury. You can hear Jim on the Philly show with Todd Zielecki and our buddy Ruben Amaro Jr. I guess Zielecki's our buddy too. Jim Salisbury joins us now. Thanks for giving us the time, Jim.
Yeah, my pleasure. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Actually,
what's up, Jim?
Before we get to the Bryce Harper thing, you know, we were just sort of figuring out the rules for Fritz's matchup with the camera next Wednesday. And we have heard that you have seen Fritz throw more recently than any of us have. So, you know, as someone who has had a catch with Jack Fritz recently, how does the arm look?
That is true. I have what they call a fresh scouting report.
Yes. What's it look like? You know, what would you write on the scouting report if the GM came to you and asked you about Fritz?
I would write, that's a great question. I would write, for an out of shape layman, It's a good arm.
Okay. That's about I think we'll take it.
It's he's got some arm strength and some carry through the zone. We'll see if he can throw strikes. To me, that's the big thing. If he throws strikes, I think Joe will have problems if he throws strikes. But you know, I don't know if he can throw strikes because, you know, Jack was quite boastful on the first leg of the tournament, and he was fed a large dose of humble pie. It sounds like
he was
sure was.
Yeah, as someone who watched it, it was you know it was something to behold. Yeah.
Ike will tell you this. There's an old saying, the great athletes expect to win, but they don't assume they're going to win. And Jack assumed he was going to win, and that's a problem.
Well, that's why no one's called Jack a great athlete. if we're being fair, Jim.
Catching strays over there.
2012 first team All-Chessman.
There it is. That was 13 years ago. So Jim, we're talking about Bryce, and the 6.5 years feels like it's gone by pretty quick. Now, when you look at it all, a lot has happened, but it's just weird to think that we're halfway through this contract that seems like, at the time, this contract will just go forever.
You're right. It does seem like it's gone quick, and I remember when he signed it, 13 years seemed like an eternity, and now you're at the halfway point. It has gone by fast. I think he's had a great impact, though. I know some folks will look at it and say, well, they haven't won a World Series yet, but you can't win a World Series alone. I think he's really carried his end of the bargain. I think it's been a really good investment. At the time he signed, $330 million was the largest package ever given to a major league player. And now it's like 10th or 11th because the market just keeps going crazy. I know this sounds funny, but I almost think he's a bargain. I know he's had some injury problems, but you know, so far that he's put a lot of fannies in the seats, and they've won a lot of ball games. And I think it's been a dynamite investment. Maybe you know, Wheeler's been a great investment, but so has Harper.
Yeah. Has there been anything that maybe that has surprised you about him that you didn't anticipate that we've gotten to sort of learn or know about Bryce during his time?
Well, that's a good question. I probably answer that. Nothing has surprised me performance-wise, but maybe like person-wise.
Yeah.
From afar, I heard he was maybe a little difficult to deal with, from a reporter or player standpoint. And I can tell you, he has been nothing but a gentleman, and nothing but accountable, and nothing but approachable and accessible. I think it has a little bit to do with that contract. You know, his agent, Scott Boras, is very conscious about, you know, the image you portray. And I think Bryce is conscious about that. And I think the Phillies talked to him and John Middleton talked to him that, you know, with this humongous contract comes responsibility connecting to the fan base and the community. And you do that through the media. He's been great to deal with from a media standpoint. Like I said, accountable, a gentleman, always there, doesn't duck anything. And to me, that is probably the biggest surprise for me because I had heard he could be a little prickly when he was in Washington, but I've never seen even anything close to that.
Well, and a credit to him because your agent can tell you to do this all you want and the owner can tell you this is what's important to me all you want. But then all of a sudden when you're in the reality of 162 games and upset fans and, you know, reporters asking you, you know, the same questions, no offense to reporters, but just like the way that it works and to never crack really is honestly one of the most impressive things.
Yeah.
I wait for him to break. And, like, he never cracks, you know?
Yeah. And no offense taken. That's
yes.
That's what we do.
Yeah, no. It's just that.
That's what we do, and he understands it.
Yep.
He gets it. He kind of knows who the guys that are around a lot, the guys who get it, and he's a real pro. He's a pro in dealing with you. Doesn't suffer fools, but I'll tell you what, he's been nothing but a pleasure to deal with. From my end, I've enjoyed dealing with him, and you know, some nights when you're watching him, you feel like you have the greatest job in the world. I've done this job a long time. And, you know, watching Jimmy Rollins, watching Ryan Howard, Cole Hamels, Chase Utley, Roy Halladay, Zach Wheeler. It's fun to watch greatness.
Yeah.
And it's fun to tell great stories. It's why you get in this business. And Bryce Harper, more often than not, I feel like I'm watching greatness. And he says interesting things. And does interesting things, and he's interesting to write about, and he's interesting to talk about. So from my perspective, I've really enjoyed it.
Jim Salisbury with us talking about Bryce Harper. So, you know, we've mentioned a couple times the pursuit and the signing. Do you think that there is another team? We remember the rumors of who was close and who Bryce was interested in signing with. Like, as you followed it, do you think he was ever close with another team? And if it wasn't the Phillies, who do you think it would have been?
Well, I think Dodgers and the Giants.
Giants, yeah.
Both made kind of, you know, very large AAV offers with a shorter term. But he was interested in going to one place and staying a long time and having a big number attached to it. And that was the Phillies. So I think, you know, looking at it, it was those three teams. And, you know, to me, it's funny looking back at that. You know, he's not here. He's not a Philly if Manny Machado says yes. I mean, Manny Machado was the guy they went after first. Manny Machado is the guy they made an offer to first. I think Matt Klentak and his crew were kind of high on Manny Machado because of the defense and the offensive package, the whole package. But it doesn't sound like, you know, from what I recall, their initial offer was what Manny was looking for. The drama played out. John Middleton got involved, was very much interested in Bryce Harper. Then the personal meetings started. And, you know, then they went hard after Bryce. But this could have been a lot different if Manny Machado says yes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, covering it, like any free agent drama, it can be stressful. You can't blink. And for me, it really took a turn. I was at dinner one night in Clearwater, and somebody told me that John Middleton's plane is parked at the Las Vegas airport as we speak.
I remember that. Yep.
And that's when I knew that John had rolled up his sleeves and he was going to get something done. And Bryce Harper was going to be a Philly. And within a few days, he was a Philly. And it was a really exciting, exciting time because, you know, when I first started covering the Phillies, they were in a real dark period of a long rebuild. And then they had the great Jimmy Chase, Ryan Ruiz, Cole Hamels, Charlie Manuel era, and that was fun. And then they went dark again, and it got quiet and boring. And, man, Bryce just, you know, I remember the day after he signed in Clearwater, I remember talking to Reese Hoskins, and his eyes were like saucers. He was so excited that, you know, baseball was back. And he was standing outside the clubhouse in Clearwater, and there's a big – you guys might have seen it when you were down there. There's a big mural on the wall outside the clubhouse of the moment they won the World Series in 2008 when the ballpark has just gone crazy and the banners are being unfurled and the players are mobbing each other. It's this huge picture. And Hoskins points to the mural over his shoulder and said, you know, these days are back. And I know they haven't won a World Series. And that's the objective. But the excitement has come back and baseball is back. And that, you know, a lot of it started with Bryce Harper. But you know, it takes the whole team. Zach Wheeler has been a great acquisition. Kyle Schwarber has been a great acquisition. And they have an exciting team that has played in the postseason 3 years in a row. And I believe they're going to play there a fourth season in a row. So, you know, baseball is back and Bryce Harper to me is a very, very big part of it.
Before we let you go, Jim, this year's team, it's a It's a weird team to talk about on the air every day because they're clearly good. They're in first place. They have one of the best pitching staffs I've ever seen in my life. Yet no one seems to, at least from the fan base, I feel like people don't trust the team. So, you know, and you watching them from your vantage point, like what does your gut tell you, aside from the obvious, yes, they need bullpen, blah, 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 blah. Like what does your gut tell you about, you know, can this team win the World Series?
Yeah, they can win the World Series, but you got to play good. You got to play good for a month. And they've played good for months, you know, several times, many times. And Bryce Harper was player of the month last year in May and June. They can play good for a month and win the World Series. To me, it's not a team that's a shoo-in to win the World Series. It's a team that gets in and plays the best. And, you know, having a great starting staff is a great place it's a great launching pad. So that's a good thing to have. They have a lot of inconsistency on offense. They need to put together a good month. The bullpen is shaky. That's where the front office needs to come in and I think make a score for a big arm reliever, or maybe even a big arm and a nice secondary arm back there. But, you know, I understand that the fan base doesn't trust them because we put so much stock in October, so much stock in the postseason, and that's fine because that's what pro sports is all about, winning championships. And when you don't win one and, you know, you come up short in the tournament and your offense goes cold 2 years in a row and your bullpen fades 2 years in a row, it kind of smacked at your confidence level a little bit. So I totally understand it. But I really think the foundation of the team is good. I think they're going to get there into October, and then it's about how you play. And I still believe that Dombrowski will do something to shore up that bullpen, and you know maybe they'll get a right-handed bat. I'm not sure there's a right-handed bat out there that puts them over the top, but there's probably right-handed bats out there that would mitigate some of their shortcomings and help nudge it along. But, you know, get a good bullpen arm, and I think they will. I really think they will. And then you need your big boys, your Harper, Schwarber, Turner, Realmuto, all of these guys. If you're going to win this thing, you're going to win it with your core playing well in the month of October and the bullpen acquisition that your front office can deliver helping out. And there's so much to this. They finally have a handful of pieces in this farm system that everybody likes, that everybody's excited about. But they're probably going to have to sacrifice one or two of them. But it's time. This is the time to do that because you have a star-studded roster. You have a humongous, humongous payroll. You have huge expectations. You have an odometer reading that is very high with your core is all over the age of 30. You got to win now. You got to win this year. You got to win next year. You have an elite pitcher that is 35 years old. And we all know that, you know, they only have so many bullets. So the time is now. The time is now to try to make something happen. And I'm just fascinated to see where this goes.
You've watched and covered a lot of Phillies baseball. We've given out our sort of Mount Rushmore of Phillies. I would love to hear who you would have on your Mount Rushmore of Phillies.
Wow. Pro sports is about winning championships.
Don't tell LeBron that, though. Don't tell LeBron that, though. Yeah, but, yes, I agree with you.
That's why I have such respect for the Eagles quarterback. You know, I hear this debate that he's this, he's that. He's a champion for me. But anyway, Jimmy, Ryan, Chase, Cole Hamels. Cole Hamels was 24 years old. I could barely get out of the driveway at 24 years old, and he's putting the city on his back and pitching him to the World Series, you know. Roy Halladay in just two great years was awesome. Curt Schilling. Covering Curt Schilling was awesome. Because the teams were terrible, and you knew every fifth night he was going to go out there and do something, insanely special. And then after the game, he's going to say something to fill up your notebook and light up your story. So he was great to cover. Those are all my Mount Rushmores. But Bryce Harper is a Hall of Famer. We're watching a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I know he's had injuries, you know, some of them are those type of injuries you wonder about, is he breaking down? But, you know, he got hit in the, you know, with a 96-mile-an-hour pitch that shattered his thumb. That's not breaking down. That just happens. So all of those guys are on my Rushmore. This Schwarber guy is a tremendous, tremendous offensive player and a tremendous leader in the clubhouse and a really quality human being. And Zach Wheeler, to watch him pitch every fifth night is something special. So that's a pretty big Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, that's about a 12-player Mount Rushmore. You really about done me. You beat me out. I stretched the Mount Rushmore. You really have. You like Mount Rushmore cube.
I'm sorry. I put Jimmy, Chase, and Ryan because they won a championship.
Yeah.
They won a World Series. And Cole Hamels. For me, winning a World Series carries a lot of juice here.
Yeah, so 1980 didn't what about that squad?
Nah.
I'm not that old.
By the way, last thing, Jim, is Fritz going to throw strikes on Wednesday?
That's the big question.
Oh, come on.
If I'm the camera, I'm taking until I see a good one.
Yeah. By the way, DeCamera was going to do that anyway. The guy's arms could break if he swings that bat. So,
what's the deal if you walk him? Does that count, like, for him reaching base?
Yeah. Yes. Four times on base, it's a win for him. He won't get a hit, so it's probably going to be a walk.
Yeah.
And then three times is a push and two times an under, I win.
Don't get cocky, Jack.
Yeah.
You hear it, don't you, Jim? You can hear it.
All right, Jim. Thank you so
appreciate
much for your time today, man.
All right, my pleasure. See you guys.
There is Jim Salisbury, who clearly has a different impression of what Mount Rushmore is than what I do. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Harper at the half, talking about Bryce Harper halfway through his 13-year, $330 million contract. We take a break from that at about 4 when we have Joe DeCamera from the WIP Morning Show along with WIP brand manager Rod Lakin on the show to discuss the rules for the Fritz versus DeCamera baseball challenge, which will happen next Wednesday at Plymouth White Marsh High School. High school, right? Is that where it is? Plymouth
yes.
White Marsh High School. Joining us now, he punished us by not joining us at 3, but he celebrates us by joining us at 3:30. That is Larry Anderson. What's up, L.A.?
Yeah, it took me a while to get over the 9 walks.
Yeah. Dude, I could only imagine. Thank God they won that game after it, because if we had had you on the day after the 9 walk game.
Yeah. Exactly. Wouldn't have gone well.
Yeah. By the way, before we get to Bryce, we've been talking about Bryce all day. Chris Sanchez is just like, I just keep thinking about Sanchez, and then think about this pitching staff overall, is I hope they keep it up, because if they keep it up toward at the end of this season, we are going to look back and say this is the best pitching staff to ever pitch for the Phillies. I can't believe how good they've been.
Halfway through the season, and we're saying it. It's not like it's like a month or a month and a half or 2 months. It's, you know, 3 months worth plus, and it's just, it's been phenomenal. Where would we be if this pitching staff wasn't, if they were doing only three quarters of what they're doing,
right?
We would be sunk.
Well, and even forgetting about the offense, like right now, and this isn't to, I'm not trying to dismiss any of the relief pitchers on the team. Right now, I have confidence when one reliever comes in, it's Kirkring.
Yeah.
I feel confident in Kirkring. So if you talk about the fact that their bullpen, the offense has been fine, and the bullpen has been basically a disaster, and they are in first place by 2 games, mostly because of how good the starting pitching is. And Sanchez just seems like he's just getting better and better as the season goes on, which he actually did last year as well.
Yeah, I mean, he gets better every time he goes out, it seems like. He's dominant. You look at Wheeler, Ranger, Sanchez. I mean, just those three right there. You're talking about three guys that should be in the conversation for the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, 60% of your rotation. I would say that's pretty good. And Lizardo's couple of blow-ups, you know, besides those, he's pitched pretty well. I mean, he's had a couple of hiccups, maybe more pitches than he's wanted to throw command-wise. But, I mean, it's been unreal. It's just been fabulous. And it's one of the best that we've ever had, I think.
So when you look at particularly Ranger and Christopher Sanchez, because we know Zach is Zach. He's been good 5 straight years. And I'll give Lizardo a little more time to get through the second half. But those two guys pitched well in the first half last year, L.A. Are you seeing – what's the difference between what they were last year and what we're seeing this year? Or is there any difference in what you're seeing from those two particular?
I think one thing with Ranger, when he lost a little bit of velocity, he's still pitching. Mm-hmm. I think it was more of a frustration for him last year when he started losing a little bit. And maybe trying to force things. Now he's just saying, this is what I got, this is what I'm going with, and I'm going to make better pitches. And he's just, it's like, you know, his velocity is down a couple ticks. But it's not changing how you pitch. It doesn't change, it may change how he pitches, but it doesn't change your command. You can still, you know, if you lose a mile or 2 hours, a mile or two an hour off your fastball, it doesn't mean you can't pitch. Doesn't mean you can't locate. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, how many times have I heard him talk about just location? Instead of worrying about how hard a guy throws or his spin rate, what about where he's throwing it? And that's the difference. He's not throwing 94 like he did last year in the first part. He's down more at 90. But his soft contact's no different. Mm-hmm. They're not barreling balls up. They're not hitting balls hard off of him. He's just he's pitching, and that's I think the biggest difference with Sanchez and him. Both pitch very similar as far as where they're throwing the ball or how they like to get guys out. Sanchez obviously with more velocity, but both of them, you know, I think it's really important for both of them to crowd right-handers, which they do very well.
and then it makes their off-speed stuff even better down and away. It's just, I think, I don't know if Sanchez is learning or has learned things from Ranger, but just by watching him, it's like, oh, look what Ranger's doing with that. Well, I've got 5 miles an hour more on my fastball. I should be able to do the same thing even better. And I think it's just, for him, it's almost like a, you know, when you're golfing and you're putting, somebody goes first and they give you a little line, mm-hmm. give you an idea of where to go.
Give you to read.
That's kind of like what Ranger's doing. Yeah, it's kind of what Ranger's doing, I think, for Sanchez. And yeah. I don't think it's intentional. Maybe it is, but I don't think. But it's certainly working. I think it's certainly working for Sanchez. I think confidence with Sanchez, too, is just continues to build. And so I don't see much changing with them throughout the rest of the year. I really don't. It's either of them.
LA, we've spent a large portion of the day talking about Bryce Harper. We're about halfway through his 13-year contract. 13 years, $330 million. Just a couple of basic questions on the top. Has he lived up to what you expected of him as a player since he has signed here?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think, obviously the injuries, you can't help that. That's part of the game. But I think outside of the injuries, the hits he's gotten us to the World Series. He's had some huge hits. We've been in the playoffs pretty regularly. And that's really, to me, I mean, one guy can't make you win the World Series, but he can certainly help you get there and win a lot of games. It doesn't mean he can't help you win it, but it's more than just one guy. But I think he's held up his side of the bargain, I think, pretty well. I don't doubt that at all.
We've talked about a little bit today about his sort of role or position as an ambassador for the team. He's been he has been very fan forward, very positive. What right. like your impressions of him as it before he got here and after he's been here? Like what did you think of him, not as a player, but I guess as a personality before and as a personality now? Is there much of a difference there?
I think so. I think, and I said it to him after his first year here. I went up to him and told him how much I appreciated and respected him for the way he handled things. Early that first year he was here, he got booed a few times, you know. Mm-hmm. But he handled it. He didn't jump on the fans. He didn't, you know, pout. He just went about his business and basically saying, you know, stay with me, I'll get better. And I think between that and then seeing, you know, what he's done with the fans, with kids, he seemed much more standoffish to me going against him. But having him here, he's not afraid to go out there and be with the fans and, you know, for charities, stuff like that, making himself available. I think he's done that. Is he not Schwarber style yet, but or I don't know if he ever will be, because very few guys are like that. But I think he's done his part. I really do.
It might be important in his career, given how many games he's played, his age, that like you start to lose it a little bit physically. What does it take for a ball player to, I guess, sort of figure out what's going on physically and adjust their game to sort of lengthen how good they are, like in terms of years? What is that approach like?
I think it's for him. I don't think anybody knows Harper like Harper knows Harper. A lot of guys don't know themselves as well as he does. I think he knows every little bit about what he needs, whether it's rest, nutrition, you know, more work, whatever. He knows himself, and he knows what he's got to do. One thing, I mean, he goes when he's up there hacking. You know, he's not taking any mediocre cuts. He's not getting cheated, and that's, you know, some people talk about he swings so violently that, you know, it's gonna hurt him down the road. I don't see any evidence to prove that. You know, unless somebody comes up with something I don't know about. But I think he takes such good care of himself. He knows what he has to do, and he really puts himself in a position to be an optimal player at all times. And I think that's, even if you start to lose it, it doesn't mean you don't lose what you feel you need to do to stay sharp, to stay focused, to stay intense, to stay whatever, all of it. Just staying power. I think because he knows himself so well, I think he can adjust if he starts losing it, slowing down a little bit. He'll make adjustments. He knows how to do that. He knows himself that well.
LA, it's easy for us to say an era is successful if they win a championship, and it's not if they don't. When you look at the era of Harper, do you think like the only way to call it a successful era of Phillies baseball is if they win a World Series?
No. I mean, I think you look at the Braves, what was it, 13 or 14 straight division titles?
Yep.
And they won one World Series. But I don't think anybody looks back and go, they were failures. You know, they didn't do it. They didn't. They got a World Series. It, you know, out of 14, you hope they'd get one or 13. But I think people look back at the Braves and look at that stretch that they had. Like, that was a pretty successful franchise right there. It's icing on the cake to win it. But I think you get to the World Series, I still believe that one guy's not going to make you a World Series champion. Maybe they say that about Pete Rose coming here. That was bringing a different attitude, a different, mentality coming here.
Yep.
And I think people with Bryce expect a lot from him. And sometimes it's unfair. You know, they did it with Schmitty, you know, 3 home runs and then he strikes out and they're booing him. You can't forget about the 3 home runs and you can't forget about the fact that Harper had a big part in getting us to the World Series and getting us into the playoffs, you know, the last few years. So, I mean, yeah, it certainly helps. It makes it easier to say, yeah, that was definitely a success. But I don't think you have to win a World Series and be a world champ to say that, you know, it's not a success, it's a failure.
You know, the last thing for me, LA, just sort of a general question about this team. Like, this year. Because I think we have all, and I think fans as well, are having a hard time. They keep winning, right? They're in first place. They win without Bryce. What does your gut tell you about this year's Phillies? Like, is this a team where you're like, this team could win the World Series? I know they could in a factual way, but what does your gut tell you about the team this year?
My gut tells me they're as good as anybody out there, and that doesn't mean. There's a lot of good out there. There's not. I mean, there's a lot of parity. Nobody's running away with anything. Maybe Detroit's trying to. The Dodgers are starting to, you know, put a little distance between them and the Giants and the Padres. But they've gone through their streaks, too, and their slumps, and their pitching is, you know, to me, is suspect a little bit. So I look at the Phillies this year as like, this is as good a year as any for them to win it all, just for that simple fact. But the other part of that is that there's a lot of teams in the same boat, and that they probably, to me, they're looking at it the same way. Like, why not us this year?
Right.
I think the Phillies, having been there and getting to the playoffs the last few years, I think that does help them, gives them an advantage. And then we'll see. I think, you know, coming to trade deadline. I mean, we've got flaws. I don't think there's any question with the inconsistency of the offense. When we face good pitching, we don't put up a lot of runs, and I think that's to me that's been pretty apparent throughout this year. We struggle against good pitching. Tomorrow and Saturday I think are big tests with if it's still Abbott and Lodolo, two tough lefties with good numbers. I mean that's. We have to do our part offensively too. I think a little more consistency there, and having Bryce back, maybe that'll turn things around or help to turn things around. Maybe not right away, but gradually getting there. I think that's going to be a big advantage for us.
My strategy against good pitchers is just send Stott up there and tell him to foul 400 balls off until the starting pitcher's out. That's
yeah, but then he's just going to pop up to the left side.
Just foul balls. Foul balls.
You got to play some small ball too. I think that's becoming more apparent when in situations with our pitching the way it is. Get a couple runs.
Yeah, get them over, get them in. We've had a couple of those lately. It's actually feels good when it happens. You're like, oh, wow, there it is.
Did you see the reaction from the crowd to the Marchand bunt last night?
Oh, yeah.
It was a damn near standing ovation,
yeah,
LA.
Yeah.
That was outstanding. It was great.
maybe not so much on going first to third, but
hold on. Baby steps. Baby steps. Exactly. LA, I got one question for you.
Yeah.
How do you just throw strikes?
Yeah, Jack, do you know what's going on here? Jack is in this athletic competition against Joe DeCamera.
Right.
Jack lost in golf on Sunday, and I'm not going to give you the gory details, but he melted down. He truly melted down.
Oh.
Like yes. a dog, L.A. Yes. Like a dog.
Well, would not have been proud, L.A.
No, you would have been really upset watching.
Yes. So next Wednesday, Jack is pitching against DeCamera. It's 10 at-bats. If DeCamera gets on base four times, he wins. Now, that's by walk or hit or whatever. But we know that Jack, you know, has the stuff. So you always talk about throwing strikes. Why can't these guys throw a low strike? Please tell Jack how he can go in there and just throw strikes.
The thought precedes the action.
There it is.
Okay? Mm. Go up there and think about what you're going to do, where you're going to throw that ball. Don't think about, I can't walk this guy or you'll walk him. I can't hang this or you'll hang it. I can't give him a cookie or you'll give him a cookie. Think about what you're going to do, not what you have to do or what you can't do. Think about what you're going to do. Gives you a bit much better chance.
You know what I was trying to do the other day, I was trying to remind myself, slow down the mound. Like slow, you get to the, you know,
yep.
Slow down the mound. If I can focus on my legs, the body usually follows.
Yes.
Slow down the mound.
I think you're staying back. I wish Abel would have done that yesterday. When you throw four pitches in a row up and into a right-hander, that tells me right off the bat, I mean instantly, your body's getting out in front of your arm. Your arm's just not catching up.
Yeah.
So stay back over your leg a little longer.
All right, Jack. Well, we'll keep our... What's that?
Where's this going to be at?
It's at Plymouth White Marsh High School next Wednesday.
Wow, it's going to be a big crowd, I bet, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, at least 100 people. Oh, yeah.
What time is it?
Noon?
Noon, yes.
Okay.
Oh, L.A., please.
We'll see.
All right. Okay. All right.
The Phils are, they're in San Francisco at 3:45.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Oh, yeah. I'm off for a while.
Interesting.
Oh, that'd be great.
Looking for stuff to do.
Oh, I'll send a car for you. All right, LA.
All right, brother.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, LA.
You got it.
All right. Take it easy, brother.
The best of interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all.
Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.